Hi, I'm Pastor Joe Wagner, pastor of God's Founding Fellowship Church in Wellsboro, PA. This afternoon, we'll talk about taking up the helmet of salvation as we continue on in our series about the armor of God. We as Christians are in a war. It's a spiritual war. And if we neglect getting ready every day, we're going to lose more battles than we win. In today's message, if it speaks to your heart, well, you can hear it again and others like it at our website, www.wellsborochurch.com. Okay, we have been talking about the armor of God and spiritual warfare, and now we're to the part about the helmet of salvation. I have to admit that this sermon about the helmet of salvation is just really big, almost too big for me right now. You know, my head just kind of explodes with the importance of it and the enormity of the subject matter. I think that if I were to sit down and write this sermon out, you'd be sitting here and listening to me until y'all left about 4 o'clock this afternoon. It'd probably be like 47 pages long. I don't know if I'd know how to condense everything down to 30 or 40 minutes. And so, today, I'm going to lean on the shoulders of one of the greatest preachers ever. Today's sermon on the helmet of salvation is directly adapted from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermon titled, The Christian's Helmet. This is something I've really always wanted to do. To take a great sermon from Spurgeon or Bunyan or Edwards or even Wesley and preach it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a Reformed Baptist minister who began preaching while he was just 16. Charles Spurgeon was Billy Graham long before there was ever any Billy Graham. He was Rick Warren before there was ever a Rick Warren. At the age of 20, Spurgeon began preaching at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. At that point, that was the largest Baptist church in England. And over the years, that church outgrew that huge building and had to move to what was called the Surrey Music Hall. And there he preached over 10,000 people at a time without a microphone. Charles Spurgeon is the preacher who I told you about who would not preach at his home church unless while he was speaking in the room directly below the pulpit. They were godly men praying that what Spurgeon preached would be effective and glorify God. And while Spurgeon was a great evangelist, he was named the Prince of Preachers. He didn't necessarily like altar calls that much. At the end of sermons at his home church, he would say that if any of the people there had been touched by the Holy Spirit and believed that they would like to make a confession of faith, that they should come around to his office the next morning. Spurgeon's sermons themselves could stir people's hearts and souls, and he made sure that any confession of faith was not made simply because of some emotional propositioning on his own part, but because the Holy Spirit was truly moving someone to believe. And he understood that one night's wait would not douse that fire, but only fan the flames. Now, this sermon that I'm going to preach today is a pretty old sermon. It's a whole lot older than any of you. I've tried to adapt it the best I could to today's language, and I hope it's successful. But if it's not, we'll know that we won't do this again. And something else, this really isn't a seeker-sensitive sort of sermon. This entire series about spiritual warfare and about the armor of God is really one meant for believers. And I hope and I pray that if you don't believe in Jesus, that you will find it fascinating. And you will be super interested in what the Christian life is like. And will realize that the life of a believer is all about Jesus Christ. So back to the sermon. Charles Spurgeon gave this very sermon in the year 1866 at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, England. I hope I deliver it half as well. And the truth is, I'm only going to deliver about half of it because Mr. Spurgeon was kind of windy too. I'd like to open in a word of prayer. And like that great preacher of old, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you and that God be glorified this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as I deliver this sermon by Charles Spurgeon, his sermon, and I pray that it's your words that people hear, and not glorifying me or not glorifying this preacher, but glorifying Jesus Christ. Please open up my mouth and anoint my lips and open up the ears of those who hear, every single one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to open up with some scripture? Again, we're in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, reading from the ESV. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when a day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. There's another piece of scripture that I'd like to look at today. This piece of scripture from Ephesians only tells us to take the helmet of salvation. So I want to look to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 for just a little bit more of material to work with. 1 Thessalonians 5, 8. Put on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Notice here that salvation and the helmet of salvation is described as hope. The very mention of a helmet in verse 17 of Ephesians 6 and 1 Thessalonians 5, 8, the very mention of a helmet reminds us that every Christian here is a soldier. Today's Armed Forces Day. When we celebrate the armed forces of our great nation, we need to remember that we as Christians, the church, made up of believers in Jesus Christ, that we are an armed force. Believer, if you weren't soldiers, you wouldn't need armor. But because we are soldiers, we need to be protected from head to toe in armor. And not just any old armor, but the very best armor. We all need to be reminded that we are armed forces. And that we are in a war. We need to be reminded of this because sometimes, well, lots of times, we like to forget that. Christians, soldiering in a time of war is not a very pleasant job. And our own earthly desires and wants constantly tempt us to raise the white flag of surrender because surrendering is just easy. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14 tells us that for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. When the author of Hebrews tells us that, it's true. We don't live here. Well, we live here, but we don't seek to make our final and eternal home. Our final and eternal home is heaven. Right now, we're in enemy territory. We're just passing through. But all too often, we try to make the here and now more comfortable for us, don't we? Like we actually want to fit in and belong here. We're supposed to be of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. We have to remember that we are in a war. We have to remember that heaven, that Jesus, and it's finally seeing the glory of God and seeing Him face to face when we get to heaven is the ultimate thing that we search for. We fail, though, and we're sinful, and we do fall, and we do try to make this place more comfortable. But that's why God has provided grace for us. And so as soldiers, an armed force of believers, we need to keep our armor on all the time, because we are in enemy territory. And if you do take off your armor in some unguarded moment, you may be seriously wounded by some sneak attack of temptation. You know, even when we are surrounded by our friends, and what we may think we may be in safe territory, we need to be watchful and armored up, fully prepared. But just like we read in Ephesians, there are still evil spirits, unseen by us, who watch for us to trip up. So we as Christians can't put away our armor because we do wrestle against the principalities, against the powers, and the spiritual wickedness in high places, against whom we must always be on watch. You gotta remember, you are a soldier, Christian. Remember that. And here's something else to remember. When the Christian does screw up, the world never forgives him. The world hates the Christian with a perfect hatred and it longs to hurt him and drag him through the mud. If the world sees you commit half a stumble, it will soon be reported and magnified, and everyone will know. What might be done by other men and ignored, if it were done by a Christian, it will be noticed and reported and misrepresented. See, the world understands that you, believer, are its natural antagonist. The prince of this world, Satan, perceives you, in you, a representative of his old enemy, of Jesus Christ, and you may rest assured that Satan will never give you quarter if once he gets an opportunity to destroy you. And so, knowing this, remember that you are a soldier, and look to your head. Look to your helmet. You see, because a wound in the head is a serious matter, and because of that, our heads need to be well protected. You know, the heart needs to be guarded with a breastplate, and the head needs to be protected just as much with a helmet. Even if a Christian is true-hearted and protected by your breastplate of righteousness, if you're shot through the head, you won't be much as a soldier. There are a great many Christian people who have great hearts, but their heads are left unprotected. You know, you have to have right and correct doctrine in your head, and with that understanding in your head, that sets your heart on fire with the truth of Scripture. And think about it this way. There is no standing in the way of a Christian soldier whose head and heart are both right. Think about that. But so many Christians neglect their heads and their understanding. They neglect the doctrine. They neglect theology. And they neglect thinking with their heads and their minds and being led by the Spirit. And instead, they're just simply led by their hearts. And so often, when you're led by your heart, rendered powerless and useless because you haven't taken care of your brain. You know, people that I'm talking about like this, I love them. I really, really do. But, you know, there's some people out there who just simply lead with their hearts and forget about their heads, that they don't even really clearly understand the gospel. You know, if you ask them, they're not even really able to give a reason for the hope that is in them. They have not, in fact, put on the helmet of salvation. Some cannot even describe what it is that they are saved from and how they are saved. The thing most of all that I want to make a point right now is that Christianity, our faith, makes sense. There is reason in our faith. Our faith is not blind. Our faith is not only supernatural, it is logical and practical and wise from God. We as believers need to be both hot-hearted and cool-headed. So Christian soldier, put on your helmet. And here's something else. While we can't be empty-headed, We absolutely cannot be big-headed. Our head is particularly liable to the temptation of Satan in this world when it comes to our personal pride, and our personal self-esteem, and our personal fame. We are just able to be wounded here, able to fall here, able to fall to pride, and not able to fall to sin when it comes to our own self-esteem and our own pride. If a Christian can stand personal praise, he can stand anything. One of the hardest trials that a Christian deals with is probably the battle that comes when people tell you how great you are. And if other people don't tell you how great you are, you yourself probably will tell yourself how great you are upon occasion. And you know what? If you forget to tell yourself how wonderful you are and how great you are, the devil will certainly not forget, and he will absolutely tempt you in this way. There's a great preacher named John Bunyan. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. John Bunyan, great preacher, he was also the author of the great Christian classic, Pilgrim's Progress. Our illustration today goes a little like this. What a great sermon you gave us today, this morning, Mr. Bunyan, said a friend, for the great preacher and author had been preaching. You are too late, said Mr. Bunyan. The devil told me that before I came out of the pulpit. You know, what's the point? Point is, even the best deal with pride and big-headedness. Can I tell you something else? There is nothing that puts Jesus off more than pride. Can I tell you something else? There's nothing that will turn off an unbeliever more than a Christian with a big head, full of self-righteousness and pride. we as Christians, especially Christian leaders and teachers and good Christians, with lots of victories under our belts, we constantly battle our own elevated self-esteem and pride. And so, we need to put on our helmets, especially when we are successful, that even in our victory, we do not fail. Let's not let our heads get so big that our helmets don't fit. Do you know what else our heads are especially vulnerable to? Skepticism and doubt. People who have no brains for or interest in scripture, or Bible teaching, doctrine, or understanding, or theology, people who are not interested in that don't often deal with doubt. But the problem with people who are interested in that, they have brains and they think. We're under a constant bombardment from a society and culture that is full of doubts and skepticism and downright hatred of Jesus. And you know what? People who have no interest in those things, they're under that same bombardment as well. This isn't going to change. We are under attack of skepticism and doubt by the world. The world at large, at worst, despises Jesus Christ, and at best, ignores him. So if we are going to be under this constant bombardment and can't get away from the bullets of doubt and skepticism, we better have a helmet on that will protect us from the skepticism and doubts and hatred of Christianity, the hatred of the world's hatred of Christianity. The world hates Jesus. We need to protect ourselves from those doubts and skepticism that the world bombards us with by putting on our helmet. In the midst of all this casting of doubt, in the midst of all of Satan's accusations, or the rising up of old guilt, or sinful desires of their own flesh, or the world, in the midst of all this, a Christian can stand calm and unmoved because he wears the hope of salvation as his protection. And not only can the Christian stand calm and unmoved, he can stand secure knowing that he is saved. Not because of your own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, secure in knowing that once you get to know Christ personally and know that he loves you and gave himself for you, you then rejoice that you are forgiven and justified through him. And the world will tell you that you are stupid and obstinate, but when you put on and when you wear the helmet of your salvation, you will stand firm and be able to resist all the world's sarcasm and its ridicule and its doubt and skepticism. Person who has found salvation in Jesus Christ may stand safe and free, no matter what other men may say. There is no danger of doubt to the Christian who has on his helmet of salvation. Let the arrows fly thick as hail, and let the enemy have all political power, and all the power of Hollywood, and all the power of culture, and all the power of society. But there will always be a little body of true-hearted and strong-minded Christians. Let us be amongst them. And these Christians will stand out in the thick of the spiritual battle and cut their way to glory and their victory through whole hosts of the enemy, because their heads are guarded with the heavenly helmet of the hope of salvation. Christian soldiers, take care of your heads. Put on the helmet of salvation. So since God has provided us this helmet of salvation, let's talk a little bit more about it. Now listen. The helmet of salvation that Paul is specifically talking about right here is not the hope that salvation is possible. As Paul writes these words to the church in Ephesus, he is not evangelizing to the unsaved. He is shepherding the believers who are there. Paul is talking to the church, to Christians. He's talking to us as the church. He's talking to us as believers. He's talking to people who are already saved, who in fact have already received their salvation. The helmet that we're talking about today is made up of an actual hope that being saved in Christ Jesus, you should be secure in your knowledge of eternal life, a promise given you by God, paid for by Jesus Christ, and secured by the Holy Spirit. It's a personal hope, a personal faith, given by grace through Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying right now is super important for your head to know. You didn't earn your helmet. You didn't earn your salvation by anything that you did. Jesus did that, and it was given to you by God's grace because of his incredible kindness and by his love and his mercy. And once given, once you choose Jesus Christ, no one can take your salvation away. No one, not even you. Jesus will come and get you and will bring you back. It's a wonderful and mysterious and incredible mystery, but it's hope. Incredible hope, and what an incredible and precious hope that is, that Jesus will come and get you. And then once you do have hope, once you do have that helmet of salvation, it's lasting, everlasting. So wear your helmet. Prove that you have it by accomplishing the good works that God has set before you. Let me say that again, because this is super important. We cannot neglect this. Wear your helmet. Prove and work out your faith that you have it by accomplishing the good works that God has set before you, and rest confidently in the fact that the free gift of your salvation is indeed yours. So, let's describe this helmet. Who gives it out? Right? I just told you. Where does the soldier who serves in the armed forces get his uniform? He or she is issued one from the government. Right? A Roman soldier, like the one that Paul was looking at when he wrote this piece of scripture, these Roman soldiers would get their uniforms from the emperor. They get their armor from the king. And that's how he must get their helmets. If any of you try to fashion your own helmets of the hope of salvation for yourselves, well, they're going to be as useless to you in the day of battle as a paper hat, worth no more than anything made out of paper mache. The true helmet of hope of salvation must come from the heavenly arsenal. You must get your helmet, along with the rest of your armor, from the divine storehouse. For only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. And the hope of salvation must be given to you by His free grace, free for you, paid for by Christ. Then that is an incredible, incredible thing. Jesus Christ, God the Father, is the author of the universe. Jesus Christ, we find in 1 John, was with God. He was God. Everything was made through Him. Jesus Christ provided for our salvation at the cross, where He came down to this earth. He left all. He was still God, but He took on His humanity. He took on that frailty. And it's just incredible what He did, because He loved you. He did this for you. He gave up all of this. He came down to this world to die on a cross for you. You can't purchase, because it's only Jesus Christ that could pay the price. Our great King does not sell His armor, but He gives it freely to all who enlist in His army, to all who would believe in Jesus and accept Him as Captain and Lord. The Christian soldier trusts Christ, and they are enlisted, and then the armor is given them freely. From head to foot, they are arrayed by grace. So who is the maker of this helmet? Long ago, and even now, weapons are valued according to who made them. An excellent weapons maker can charge a much higher price for a weapon that he's made. You know, nowadays, if your shotgun or rifle is stamped with the name Benelli or Kimber or Seiko, you have a very expensive, very well-made weapon in your hands. Armorers of old spent a great amount of time crafting and building their weapons and armor, especially helmets. They knew that a man's life might depend upon that helmet's craftsmanship. If they were going to stamp their name upon a helmet that they made, it was going to be made of the finest quality. The name stamped upon our helmet of salvation is the name of God, the Holy Spirit. You see, Christianity as a whole, and our faith personally, is supernatural, origin, and man. Our salvation is the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in our very hearts and souls. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who brings us to the realization of Jesus, who shows us our need of Him, and gives us faith in Him. And it is that same Spirit who enables us the hope of salvation that we shall endure to the end and enter into eternal life. So don't be satisfied with the hope of salvation that's natural, but have a hope that is supernatural. Don't be satisfied by some hope that is made in the workshop of this world. Don't put your hope in money or things or people. Put your hope in a salvation that will last. So now we ask, of what metal is this helmet made? It's made of hope, we're told. But it is of the utmost importance that the hope that our helmet is made of is a good hope. We shouldn't be getting a bad hope or a lousy hope or a base hope. A hope made of some lousy pot metal. You know, there were some good helmets that soldiers used to wear in the olden times which looked very good, but they were no more use than those paper hats I was telling you about. So when a soldier goes into the fight with one of those lousy helmets on, and they were struck by a sword. That helmet would not protect them, because the helmet was not made of the best and the finest materials. That sword would go right through a soldier's skull, right through his head. So we need to get a good helmet, one made of the right metal. And that is what a Christian's hope is made of. The Christian believes that Christ came into this world to save sinners. The Christian trusts Christ to save him, and he hopes that when Christ comes, he shall reign with Christ. He believes that when the trumpet sounds, he shall rise with Christ, and that in heaven he shall have a secure dwelling place at the right hand of the Father. Let's return for just a moment to the idea that the Christian has to have a cool head and an intelligent mind and a reasoning brain based upon the truth of Scripture, the revealed Word of God, because there is a reason that the Christian has this hope. This hope that the Christian has is made up of proper and fitting deductions from certain truthful statements. And you can find those truthful statements here in Scripture. You can find them written on your heart as a believer. I've told you about them just now. Christ died for sinners. This is true. Christ died to save all who trust in him. This is true. That I, as a believer in Christ, trust him is true. Therefore, I reason and I deduct. Because I trust in him, because Christ died for me, I am saved. And being saved, I shall inherit all his promises. This also is true. You see, a Christian's hope is not a fancy or silly desire. It will not spring up in the night, and it will not wither in the night. The Christian's hope, his helmet of salvation, is something that will bear a crack from a club, or a cut from a sharp sword. It will repel the fiery arrows of the enemy. It is made up of the finest metal, and it will not rust or corrode. It will last forever. It is the certain hope of our salvation given to us by an eternal, all-powerful, and wise God who loves us so much that Jesus Christ, his only Son, died in our place, atoned for our sin, paying the price for the eternal salvation of our very soul. In closing today, we as a Christian army stand here in formation. We stand here, rank upon rank. And some of you have been in the armed forces. Today is armed forces. And you know, those of you who have been there, you know what standing to inspection means. Or your sergeant, or your captain, or your colonel, or your general, he walks up and down the file, rank by rank, checking to make sure that you are properly prepared and turned out for the job at hand, ready for the battle that you will certainly fight. I want you to imagine yourself right now standing to inspection for your king. Is your armor prepared? Is your gig line straight and your belt of truth cinched tight? Is your breastplate of righteousness the same one issued to you? Is it the one earned by Jesus Christ? Are your sandals of the gospel of peace tied and ready? Is your shield of faith anointed and oiled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and soaked in the water of the Word? How about your helmet, soldier? Look to your helmet. Wear a straight and proud. It protects your head, protects your brain, and it is made the strongest and impenetrable metal. Christian soldier, look to your helmet. For in Jesus Christ there is salvation and certain hope. For he loves you so much that Jesus Christ, our hero, gave up his very life for you. He purchased for you the helmet. So look to him. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you so much. Dear Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your word. I pray that each and every single one of us looks to our helmet, has the hope of our salvation written, not just on our hearts, but in our hands. And I pray that we have hot hearts and cool heads, minds that think, minds that you have given to us, that sets our hearts on fire. I pray that we are a church and Christians and a people who are unstoppable, not in our power, but in your power. Not for our glory, but for your glory. It's the love of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. I hope that you were able to gain some insight into how we as believers in Jesus Christ can stand firm and overcome the enemy by putting on the helmet of our salvation. Stop by and see us this Sunday. Our church God's Family Fellowship meets at 3 Central Avenue in Wellsboro, PA, in the Warehouse Theater. Services start at 10:30 a.m. We're in the same building as a Native Bagel restaurant. If today's message spoke to your heart, you can hear it again and others like it at our website, www.wellsborochurch.com. That's www.wellsborochurch.com. Click on the media tab at the right. Thanks so much, and God bless.